This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Still no agreement. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Tuesday, March 24th. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Families and businesses waiting for checks and loans will have to wait a little longer since Congress has again failed to pass a coronavirus stimulus bill.
Yesterday was the deadliest day so far for COVID-19 in the U.S., with more than 100 fatalities. Meanwhile, more governors are adding restrictions.
Amazon says it's removed 3,900 sellers for price gouging, amounting to about 500,000 products. Also, Costco has added a senior shopping hour.
And how the economy and our lives in general may be forever changed by the pandemic.
We're going through such disruptions now, and people are adapting by getting online deliveries or communicating online, doing their learning online. How much of this is going to stick around once the coronavirus, we hope the coronavirus leaves our world? And it turns out that, you know, quite a bit of this may lead to kind of, you know, semi-permanent changes in the way we work and live.
Craig Timberg at the Washington Post on life being reshaped by new personal habits and government restrictions. Congress has again failed to pass a stimulus and relief package that's intended to soften the economic blow of the coronavirus. Senate Democrats yesterday blocked a procedural step for the nearly $2 trillion bill. Lawmakers disagree on things like the level of aid for hospitals, states, and unemployed workers. Democrats are accused of trying to add unrelated items to the measure, like tax credits for solar and wind companies and new emission standards for airlines. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
Are you kidding me? This is the moment to debate new regulations that have nothing whatsoever to do with this crisis? That's what they're up to over there. American people need to know it.
Democrats say Republicans are trying to exclude rape crisis centers from benefiting. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
We Democrats are trying to get things done, not making partisan speech after partisan speech.
For individual Americans, the centerpiece of the bill is a one-time payment of $1,200 per person and $500 per child, with the payments cut off at a certain income level. A vote is expected by the end of today. President Trump says he's considering how to reopen the U.S. economy when a 15-day shutdown ends next week, even as the highly contagious coronavirus is spreading rapidly with more than 46,000 cases. Reuters says Mr. Trump has privately expressed worries to aides and allies about the impact of the restrictions on the long-term health of the economy. The new phrase from White House officials, the cure can't be worse than the disease.
America will again and soon be open for business, very soon, a lot sooner than 3 or 4 months that somebody was suggesting.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said Sunday the lockdown was likely to last 10 to 12 weeks or until early June. The Federal Reserve yesterday rolled out an extraordinary array of programs to backstop an economy reeling from sweeping restrictions on people and businesses that scientists say are needed to limit the spread of the coronavirus. Surgeon General Dr. Jerome Adams told NBC's Today Show that Americans are not taking stay-at-home guidelines seriously enough. Several more U.S. governors have joined others in ordering millions of Americans to stay at home to slow the spread of the virus, which has now claimed more than 550 lives in the U.S. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says anyone arriving from New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut will be told to self-quarantine for 14 days. Since last week, governors in at least 18 states, accounting for nearly half the U.S. population, have issued directives requiring residents to stay mostly indoors except for essential trips. Non-essential businesses have also been ordered closed, as you know. The measures are based on social distancing principles. California Governor Gavin Newsom, meanwhile, said yesterday his state needs 50,000 additional hospital beds, according to computer modeling.
We are our behaviors. And in order to meet this moment, we need to improve our behaviors, all of us. young and healthy, not just the most vulnerable.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio appealed for ventilators, masks, and other medical equipment, even asking for help from private citizens. Washington, which accounts for over a quarter of the deaths, became the latest state to issue stay-at-home orders. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Advancing the conversation, identifying trends, and informing the world. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for joining us. Special edition coverage of the coronavirus. What really needs to be in a stimulus bill to best protect the economy from long-term damage during the new coronavirus restrictions? And what needs to change today? We're joined now by Mark Green, Congressman representing Middle Tennessee. He's also a physician. Congressman, start with how you feel about the growing restrictions.
It's a delicate balance between decreasing the spread of the virus, which if older people get, there's a chance they die. And so there's that sort of battle, the fighting the virus battle, if you will. Inside that silo, there's also getting PPE, getting tests. There's lots of things that have to do, looking at the therapeutics, the hydroxychloroquine, and all these things that are looking at. That's all sort of in the fight the virus battle. On the other side of this thing is the implications to the economy and how we fight to keep our economy alive as we fight to kill the virus. And the balancing act is making sure that we don't do things that will dramatically impact the economy long term. So there's lots of different solutions that have been proposed, some of which have been passed in legislation, some of which the president implemented, both in the fight the virus category and fight the economic battle category. So, you know, it's just, we got to make sure we get it right. We've got to make sure that we don't go too far overboard on fighting the virus and destroy the economy long term, and then people don't have jobs. What I would tell people and encourage people to do is to just continue to talk as much as they can to their legislators. Make sure they're informed of what's going on. If they see an action get proposed that they think, oh my gosh, if you do that, it's going to shut us out of business for three. So we have to be, people have to contact us. And my phone's been blowing up, so I know folks are calling me. But so that's the battle we're fighting. We're balancing these two things, and we got to thread this needle and make sure we get it right.
What is it that you want in any kind of further stimulus? What are your priorities?
So my biggest concern is immediate cash flow to small businesses, because if they stop, you know, if there aren't waitresses in the restaurants getting paid, we want that to be able to, you know, pop right back up as soon as we're over this. So in order to do that, businesses have to make some payroll. They have to keep people getting paid. So I love the loans that are being proposed. I love the small business loans that are low interest and potentially could be forgiven at some point, but the that is the biggest and most important piece to me. What I'm more cautious about are these blank checks to every American, because that kind of money is money spent, but it's not targeted to the people who are really in need. If you plus up the unemployment, well, then you've got more money going to people who are really in need, and you're putting the money where it's needed as opposed to just giving everybody a blank check. I think that's going to hurt us long run. Long term. So I like parts of it. I don't like parts of it. And we'll see what the Senate comes out with.
Can you do it in such a way that would be different in 2008, where there were lots of criticisms about bailouts and then large companies
rewarding shareholders or offering these massive bonuses. If you're going to help large business, can you put, or would you comfortably doing that and then maybe putting restrictions on it?
I would absolutely put restrictions on it. And large companies should be able to get help if they need it, but only if they need it. And they shouldn't be, you know, the other big mistake in 2008 was to force companies to take it. You know, and TARP, they forced BB&T to take it. And John Allison was very clear, I don't want the money. But and then he paid it back, you know, BB&T paid it back pretty quickly. So, one, it should be voluntary. Two, it should be only be for those industries that need it. And in this case, it's not, you know, a part of the problem with 2008 was, you know, some of that was their own fault. Bad business practices. And you should not reward bad business practices. Here, everybody's been told by the government to shut down because we don't want the virus propagated. That's a different scenario. And so if we say to company X, you know, manufacturing widget Y, hey, you've got to shut down because, you know, you've got 300 people all in a small room making this, well, we have to help make that company whole. And really, it's just a pure cash flow issue. That's all this is. And if they keep paying their employees, then we take care of that business for that cash flow with a loan, a low interest loan that potentially is forgiven at some point, then that is much better than blanket checks, forcing businesses to take money. You know, that won't work. That's bad.
Thanks, Mark. Congressman Mark Green, who represents Middle Tennessee. 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Top congressional and White House officials emerge from grueling negotiations at the Capitol over the nearly $2 trillion coronavirus rescue package, saying they expect to reach a deal today. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer say they had spoken by phone with President Trump during the long night of talks. While the two sides have resolved many issues in the sweeping package, some remain. At midnight, they emerged separately to say talks will continue.
Number two.
Doctors and nurses are pleading for supplies such as masks and ventilators, while governments continue to roll out measures that have put more than one-fifth of the world's population under some form of lockdown. California Governor Gavin Newsom.
We are looking the next 8 weeks on our curve, maybe the next 8 to 12 weeks, to address this surge and, again, do it in a thoughtful and pragmatic way.
Number three.
Chinese authorities announced today they will end a two-month lockdown of most of virus-hit Hubei province at midnight. People with a clean bill of health will be allowed to leave. The city of Wuhan, where the outbreak started in late December, will remain locked down until April 8th. The U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee is calling on the International Olympic Committee to postpone the Tokyo Games, a move that leaves the international governing body little choice but to do so. The move came hours after IOC member Dick Pound told USA Today that the Games would be postponed. The IOC said Sunday it would make a decision within the next 4 weeks, but it has made no official announcement. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo left Afghanistan yesterday without saying whether he was able to broker an agreement between the country's squabbling political leaders. Pompeo was in Kabul on an urgent visit to try to move forward a U.S. peace deal signed last month with the Taliban. Well, if your young kids are getting antsy at home, Amazon wants to help. The company is giving parents free streaming access to more than 40 children's shows, including Pete the Cat. And if you give a mouse a cookie and select seasons of PBS kids shows, including Arthur and Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, usually those shows are behind the Prime Video paywall.
Do you know what time If You Give a Mouse a Cookie is on? I like to watch that because so much of what is on right now is just horrendous.
Oh, wow.
It's also a good book. It's a great read. A Mouse a Cookie. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday as our special edition coverage of the coronavirus continues. Coronavirus scares some of us more than others, which may in turn be scaring our children. Children always pick up on what their parents are feeling, and if a parent is feeling panicky, there's no question the kids will too. Dr. Carol Lieberman, psychiatrist based in Beverly Hills, says by taking deep breaths and managing their emotions, parents can show their children that even scary situations can and should be met with calm, cool control. She's got tips on how to do it. Doctor, where do we start?
Well, we start by not freaking out ourselves. Kids follow their parents' lead or grown-ups' lead. And so if you tell them not to worry about coronavirus, and then they see you running down the aisles of supermarkets looking for toilet paper, wearing masks and gloves, that's not going to be very effective. So the first thing is for you to not panic. And then you can engage kids in fun things that will decrease stress in them as well, like, you know, playing the music that they like. One of the things I'm really suggesting is that families go and get pets, rescue pets, because pets are very comforting, especially if we're going to be staying in, you know, missing human contact. Pets can take that place to some degree. Then also we need to just the easiest thing is for parents or to tell their kids that the coronavirus is like a cold or the flu. It does, in fact, come from that same family, the virus does. And really, for most people, it is like a flu. Then this is a great time to talk to kids about the things that they need to know for the rest of their life. And if grown-ups were listening to this, we'd have less people with coronavirus. You know, the things that our mother should have taught us to wash our hands, to eat right, to get enough sleep, get enough exercise, take vitamins, those kinds of things. Then, of course, you know, kids are home now. Half the country, the kids are home. And so what are they doing? They're sitting in front of television and getting freaked out by all of these stories about coronavirus. So you need to limit that.
We're speaking with Dr. Carol Lieberman. She's a psychiatrist based in Beverly Hills. We're discussing talking to your kids about coronavirus. So when it comes to, say, initiating the conversation, is it best to let them ask, say, the first couple of questions, or should you initiate it?
No, parents should initiate it, because a lot of times kids are scared, or they don't know how to ask, or they don't want to show that they're scared, or they get the message from their parents that they shouldn't ask, that this is a taboo topic, just, you know, go to your room or something. So no, the parents have to, because you can't pretend that kids, even the youngest kids, don't know about, haven't heard the word coronavirus a million times.
Yeah. Thanks, Dr. Carol Lieberman, psychiatrist. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With home security, there are two ways you can go about protecting your home. There's the traditional way where you wait weeks for a technician to do a messy installation that costs a small fortune. Or there's the other way, SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is everything you need in a home security system. It's award-winning protection. Two-time winner of CNET Editor's Choice Award. With SimpliSafe, outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. For the inside, there are entry, motion, and glass break sensors. Plus, you'll have an army of highly trained security experts ready to dispatch police to your home at a moment's notice 24/7. I set mine up in less than 30 minutes, and it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. It's why The Verge calls SimpliSafe the best home security system. Go to simplisafe.com/GordonDeal today, and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now and be sure to go to simplisafe.com/GordonDeal. That's simplisafe.com/GordonDeal.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday, March 24. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Still no agreement on a virus stimulus bill from Congress. More states order residents to limit themselves to only essential travel. Costco, Walgreens, and Trader Joe's among those launching senior hours. Films with short theater runs or no runs at all available for streaming now, like Birds of Prey with Margot Robbie. A Florida politician apologizes for saying coronavirus can be cured by blowing a hairdryer up your nose. And the restaurant that's repurposed itself for healthcare workers. That story in about 20 minutes. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Marcus by Goldman Sachs. With a high-yield online savings account backed by the financial expertise of Goldman Sachs, you can money. As the pandemic takes hold across America, some businesses are getting crushed, like Powell's Books in Portland, Oregon, which closed its doors for at least 8 weeks. Others are thriving, like Amazon, which announced 100,000 new hires to help manage the rush of online orders. Still others, like a restaurant in Tampa, Florida called Rooster in the Till, are adapting in ways that economists say might lead to long-term shifts in how Americans spend, work, and live. It's a story by Craig Timberg, tech reporter at The Washington Post. Craig, what have you found?
We're going through such disruptions now, and people are adapting by getting online deliveries or, you know, communicating online, doing their learning online, that we've just started asking the question, like, how much of this is going to stick around once the coronavirus, we hope the coronavirus leaves our world. And it turns out that, you know, quite a bit of this may lead to kind of, you know, semi-permanent changes in the way we work and live.
Yeah. One of my takeaways, I think, was a point you made was there are some businesses who are getting hammered. There are some who are barely getting by. There are some who are thriving, and there are some who are reinventing. Like it was like a restaurant you profiled in Florida.
Yeah, they had done what a lot of restaurants have done, which is they've sort of swapped out of fine dining, and so they're not having people into their dining room, but they're doing good food for takeout. And I think that a lot of Americans feel like they'd like to support these businesses and keep them running. So I think that takeout industry for now is really thriving. So that's an adaptive response. You know, we talk to people who close loans for a living, and that business is trying to do more and more of everything remote. And that's probably a transition that's been underway for a while, but it's definitely getting accelerated because, you know, we're all under orders to stay away from one another as much as possible.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, too. You pointed out that there are some new heroes, and, you know, you've probably seen them in a Facebook feed like I have, or on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. These, you know, janitors, childcare workers, grocery store clerks, suddenly, I don't know, you know, moving up in popularity and appreciation.
Yeah, at least appreciation, I hope. I mean, all of those folks are, you know, at an elevated risk for infection, which, of course, is terrible for them, and they're less likely to have health insurance or paid sick leave, so that's also terrible for them. But I hope that everybody is taking a moment, particularly those of us who have the luxury of working from home, to appreciate that lots of people don't, mm-hmm. and those folks in general probably make less money than those who can stay home do, and their jobs are less secure. And they're doing in their way heroic work, keeping the grocery stores stocked, and, you know, medical workers in particular, you know, police, firemen, all those folks are really, really doing amazingly important things right now.
Yeah. We're speaking with Craig Timberg, tech reporter at The Washington Post. He and his colleagues have a story entitled "The New Coronavirus Economy, a Gigantic Experiment Reshaping How We Work and Live." You pointed out, too, that inequality could grow through all this. How so?
Well, look, it's obviously a great time to be Amazon or even Walmart. I mean, Walmart, we think of it as a big box retailer, but they're adding 150,000 jobs. And part of the reason why, I'm sure, is that their online business is quite robust. But man, it's a terrible time to be Macy's. You know, it's a terrible time to be a local restaurant or any sort of like any business that requires you to have face-to-face contact. Except for maybe grocery stores and pharmacies, is in a world of hurt. So the other thing is, it's a great time to be big and rich because you can still pay your employees, you have access to credit. So there's a real worry that that the impact of the pandemic long term could mean just sort of the, you know, wiping out of a whole category of businesses that are, you know, dependent on a lot of foot traffic and face-to-face contact, but also dependent on getting paid all the time, having their cash flow be robust.
Yeah. What stood out in terms of some of the winners and losers that could be emerging here? I think you pointed out Blue Apron, which seems to be doing really well right now, the kind of these prepared meals and stuff that they deliver. And then maybe theaters, maybe on the other end of that, where, as you just mentioned, foot traffic not so high right now.
Yeah, you know, Zoom, the portal that allows you to communicate with multiple people through video conferencing, is obviously getting a huge amount of traffic. It'd be interesting to see how the online learning thing goes. Clearly, there's a lot of experimentation. You know, my older daughter is graduated high school last year, and as it turns out, she's on a gap year, but all of her friends have been sent home from their colleges, mm-hmm. and it's not clear when they're going to go back. So there's definitely an effort to experiment and push on online learning in a whole new way.
Thanks, Craig. Craig Timberg, tech reporter at The Washington Post. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could spend some time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It's time now for the mic drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you know, there will come a time, Gordon, which we all look forward to, where we will not be talking about toilet paper on a daily basis. But since there are still bare store shelves where paper products used to be all over the country, today is not that day. Let's start by taking you to Colorado, where the state's Parks and Wildlife Division is offering an unusual message of gratitude to its park visitors. thank you for not stealing our toilet paper. An electronic sign at the entrance to Boyd Lake State Park, which thus far has remained open among the coronavirus pandemic, thanks visitors for not raiding the park's bathrooms for supplies. The division posted a photo of the sign to Twitter with an additional thank you to those who didn't hoard the TP in the caption. Some commenters wondered if those who didn't steal the toilet paper could perhaps get a discount on their park fees.
Wow.
Now, I'm not sure exactly what this sign means. Is this sign a genuine thank you because
right.
people were not stealing the toilet paper, mm-hmm. or is it a sarcastic thank you because there is no more toilet paper left in their bathroom?
That would be exactly my question.
Yeah, I mean, because if it was me, it would be sarcastic, you know, but it coming from me, but
right.
I don't know who exactly came up with this idea.
And also, I don't know what the dispensers are like.
Right.
Like, maybe they're really difficult to get, so you actually have to undo the whole roll yourself.
Yes.
And like stuff it in a bag. Or is it just, you know, easy like one of those plastic spring things that you have at home and it's easy to steal
yeah.
a whole roll?
I mean, if they don't have it under lock and key at this point, they're really not paying attention to what's going on out there. You got to put a padlock on that stuff.
I guess we've arrived at that time.
Yes. And bad news if you're one of the many Americans who went crazy buying toilet paper and other hot items the last few weeks with the idea that maybe you could return whatever you don't use when the pandemic finally subsides. We have some bad news for you. Costco has put out a list of items that they will not be accepting returns on. That list includes toilet paper, paper towels, sanitizing wipes, water, rice, and Lysol. Costco didn't say why it changed its usually flexible return policy, but part of it may be for safety. According to the CDC, the coronavirus can live on plastic or hard materials for up to 3 days and on cardboard for up to 24 hours. And while this is sure to be a bummer for some, many on social media were quick to praise the policy, hoping it might put the hoarders in their place.
Mm, it won't.
No, most likely not.
So just sell it online
right.
for $84 for
right.
a roll of toilet paper.
Yeah, because we quickly forget too. Like, you know, some people were talking about online that they remember the same kind of panic during the like Y2K scare.
Yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
You know, and that was almost 20 years ago, and a lot of people have forgotten about that. So, you know, if it takes, you know, thankfully, hopefully, once we get past this, and where it's years and years until the next, you know, sort of serious situation like this comes up again, we will have completely forgotten about all this and
okay.
do the same things all over again.
Remember that Costco policy? Like, you buy a TV 1 year, just bring it back 18 months later, get
yes.
an upgraded TV. No
yeah.
questions asked.
Those were the good old days, Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When inspiration strikes, you should too. But how? What's the first step to bring your idea to life? Because finding the right freelancer for your business idea or project can be daunting. How can you find a quality freelancer you can afford? And how can you be sure they'll deliver? There's one easy answer to all of these questions: Fiverr. With Fiverr, you get more done with less. Fiverr connects you with freelancers who offer hundreds of services, from graphic design and copywriting to web programming, film editing, voiceover, and more. You can search by service, by deadline, by price, or reviews, and you can be confident to find quality talent you can count on at a price that's right for you. No negotiating necessary. Take five and check out Fiverr.com. That's Fiverr.com. Do it now and save 10% on your first order when you use my code Gordon. Fiverr, the fast, affordable way to bring your inspiration to life. Go to Fiverr.com and use the code Gordon to save 10%. That's Fiverr.com. Don't forget, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. Misleading information about COVID-19 spreads through our texts and emails and social media feeds, but you can protect yourself from dubious claims and reports. The Wall Street Journal put together steps on how to do it. Number one, pause before you share. As one expert says, misinformation tends to play on people's fears. In other words, if you're feeling strongly, either you're scared or feel like there's an urgent need to take action, that might be a sign that the info is dubious. Number two, look up which outlets cover the news. Before sharing information, do a quick search to see if other outlets have reported the same thing. One way to do that, try an app called Ground News, which shows you how many outlets have covered top stories. Also, a dedicated coronavirus hub from PolitiFact is updated with the most shared information on the web. And number three, if someone does send you false information, be gentle. The Journal says, try sending someone corrective information from an outlet they trust. If that's not available, there are always official sources like the CDC. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Treasury Secretary and the Senate Democratic leader are voicing confidence a deal will be reached soon on a third coronavirus economic stimulus package that has been stalled in the Senate. Chuck Schumer says they made great progress on the $2 trillion measure.
We're very close to reaching a deal. Very close. And our goal is to reach a deal today. And we're hopeful, even confident, that we will meet that goal.
Democrats say the plan contains too little money for states and hospitals and not enough restrictions on a fund to help big businesses.
Number two.
The Federal Reserve has unleashed its boldest effort yet to protect the economy from the coronavirus by helping companies and governments pay their bills. The central bank committed to buy as much government-backed debt as it deems necessary and, for the first time ever, corporate debt. Its intervention is intended to ensure that households, companies, banks, and governments can get the loans they need.
Number three.
The Wall Street Journal says major U.S. airlines are drafting plans for a potential voluntary shutdown of virtually all passenger flights across the country, as government agencies also consider ordering such a move, and the nation's air traffic control system continues to be ravaged by the coronavirus contagion. The FDA is warning you to avoid any at-home tests for coronavirus, saying it has not authorized any tests to be self-administered by consumers. The agency says it has begun to see unauthorized fraudulent test kits that are being marketed to test for COVID-19 in the home, and that fraudulent tests pose serious health risks. The Justice Department says it's delaying court hearings for asylum seekers ordered to stay in Mexico while their cases are being decided. The policy, unveiled in December 2018 by the Trump administration, calls for non-Mexican asylum seekers to remain in Mexico while their cases are under consideration. Cases listed up to April 22nd will be rescheduled. And if you were hoping for an NFL season full of Peyton Manning quips, you may be disappointed. The New York Post reports the future Hall of Fame quarterback has turned down an offer from ESPN to work as the Monday Night Football color commentator. He apparently turned down quite the paycheck, too. Sources say Manning's pay may have topped the record 10-year, $140 million deal CBS gave to Tony Romo.
No kidding. Wow.
Although, not that he needs the money. He's got quite the endorsement, but still.
Fair enough. That is big money. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
In New York City, in the middle of a statewide pause on daily life, the owner of a popular Italian restaurant has taken it upon himself to collect donations to provide meals to frontline healthcare workers at the city's hospitals. Fox News says Luca Di Pietro, the owner of the popular Italian eatery Tarallucci e Vino, has launched a website where patrons can donate to provide authentic Italian meals to healthcare workers. Since last Thursday, Mr. Di Pietro says he's donated 460 meals across a number of hospitals, said he's hoping to provide 300 to 400 donated meals per day going forward. The website, called Feed the Front Lines, allows people to donate meals beginning at $25. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.